Can we just thank the worship team? Thank you for leading us in worship. You know, they commit their time and their energy and their gifts to bless us and take us into the presence. And so thank you for that. It's much appreciated, as is all the ministries, the sound guy, the PowerPoint person. So if you want to get involved in ministry, we got lots of places for you. Amen. All right. Well, good morning. Are you all still recovering from your turkey overdose? Yeah, kinda. I don't know. All right. So with that in mind, how many of you like to work out? Oh, wow. Okay. How many of you know you need to work out, but you really don't want to? Okay. These are just questions for fun. How many of you, and I really want to see a show of hands here. How many of you are born again? How many of you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Okay, some of you, we need to get saved, it looks like. Either that or you're not raising your hand. Well, Pastor David has been on a series in Galatians on the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you have enjoyed that series? It has been really, really good. And today I am going to be anchoring that with the last of the fruit of the Spirit, which is not the least by any means of the fruit of the Spirit, but self-control. Now, if you haven't been here for those messages, I encourage you to go to our website and partake in those messages, because they will help you if you what? Listen to them and apply them. Amen. And so, like I said, today we're talking about the fruit of self-control. Now, the thing about self-control, or the fruit of the Spirit, is it starts with love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and then you have joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, and then self-control. So what we have here is everything comes out of love, but it's held in place by self-control. In that, love and self-control are the bookends, if you will. If I had books up here, the bookends would be love and self-control. So what do I mean by that? What I'm saying is, we have to have love, love of Christ primarily, the fruit of love working in our life to have the rest of the fruits. And I'm not going to be able to have kindness and meekness and patience if I don't have self-control. I have been in the line with my husband at the grocery store. And he has the opportunity, everybody say opportunity, to have patience. He has patience, but he's not operating in self-control, because pretty soon we're going to the next line. How many of you do that? And I'm just like, can't we just stay here? Because it never fails. We get to that line, and that line's longer than the line we left. Amen? All right. So love and self-control, the bookends. You can't be kind, you can't be any of that without self-control. So let's talk about what self-control is, since that's my assignment today. Self-control is the Greek word enkratia. I'm not Greek, but that's a pretty good shot at that. It means mastery, discipline, inner strength, power over one's desires, impulses, and emotions. It's not self-repression, but spirit-empowered discipline. Hallelujah. In other words, it's not willpower, but Holy Spirit power. It's not willpower, but Holy Spirit power. Come on, you need to get a little excited about what's been deposited in you because of what Jesus did. Amen. So the fruit of self-control is our spiritual ability to master our desires, thoughts, and actions. You have the ability. Amen. You're like, I don't think so, Bobby. Listen, when I first came through these doors, let me tell you about me. I was not this. I was a ragtag, kind of a mess, didn't think I should even be here because I knew I was where I was living. I was pretty sure everybody else here had it together but me, because I knew I was acting in fornication and lying and adultery, all the, you know that list that we don't like to read? I could check everything on the list. That's who I was when I first came here. So I am a living testimony of what it is to apply what God has given us, what He died for us, and the fruits of the Spirit. Amen? So don't think that you can't do it, because if I can do it, anybody can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Okay, let's try this. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Yeah! So the fruit of the Spirit is like seed. We get a seed. What you're like, well, if I have it, why am I not acting in it? Why am I not? Well, one is because maybe you don't realize you have it. But two, all fruit comes in seed form first, right? Everything starts with a seed. So we get a deposit. We get a starter package, so to speak, of the fruits of the Spirit. But God, He leaves it up to us to work the soil, to water the seed, to feed the seed. Or in other words, which, you know, I kind of like this analogy better because I can relate to it, because I can't grow a garden. But I do work out. I don't work out as much as I used to because, you know, I kind of got lazy. But working out, how many of you would say you have muscles? You've all been given muscle, so y'all should be shooting your hands up right now. We all have muscle. Whether or not you're developing your muscle is a whole nother ball game. And so the fruit of the Spirit is like a muscle. All of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, self-control. They're all like muscle. Now the thing is I probably have muscle and I can lift, I don't know, 500 of these. Right? Because it's just 5 pounds. And then, but I don't want to just stop at the fact that I can lift 500 of these. I am on my way to get fit. So I'm going to do 10. I'm like, okay, now I might not be able to do 500, but I can do a lot, right? Are you following me here? Okay, you're all looking at me like a cow at a gate. And then I got, woo, this is a little heavier. 20. Now, I might not be able to do as many, but I can do it, man. And I'm going to, oh, now I'm feeling it. Oh, you know, when you have to apply patience. Oh, when I have, oh, self-control. Wait a second. But I can do it. I can do it because God's given me the ability to do it. It's my responsibility to grow in it, to build the muscle. I'm not even going to try this one. Okay. Yeah, baby! Now, here's the problem. So many of you need to start at the 5 or the 10, and you try to jump to the 30. And it's unsustainable. We got to build our spirit up to that. Our ability. You've been given the ability, but you got to build it up. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. So you have self-control. You may not be using it. You may not be exercising it. You may not be feeding it or watering it by what? The Word of God? But you have it. You have it. You have all the fruit. But you have to exercise it. Amen. Scripture. Because you know we got to back it up with Scripture. Because y'all don't look like you're believing me. I think I need to work out more because I'm a little out of breath. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Now we love to quote this scripture until we actually really look in and see what it means. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and what? Self-control. You have it. God gave you power. He gave you love and He gave you self-control. So you can't say anymore that you don't have it. Because I've just proven that you do have it. Amen. So how to develop, that's what we want to talk about today. How to develop self-control. Number one, and this is so vitally important. So vitally important. So pay attention. You gotta fall in love and stay close to Jesus. This is a relationship. This is not a religion of going to church on Sunday, checking your little religious box, I did that, and then you go home and live like hell for the rest of the week. This is a love affair with Jesus Christ, by the way, the one who died and took upon himself your sins. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Here's the thing. You don't know him. You've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, but know is intimacy. No, I know David Clear. I know Anessa Clear. I know some of you very intimately. But do you know Jesus intimately? And here's the problem. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. What's that? You're living with him. You're walking with him. It's all about him in your life. I am the vine, he says. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. What fruit are we talking? We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from that relationship, apart from the intimacy, apart from what? Love. All the fruit comes out of love. Apart from that love, we can do nothing. And here's the thing, the more I fall in love with Jesus, the more I want to do his will, not have to do it. I come out of the law and into relationship. I want to. Amen. John 14:15. If you love me, Jesus says, you will obey my command. You'll obey what I say. Now, a lot of people get this wrong. The tense isn't Jesus saying, hey, if you love me, you do what I say. Come on. What are you doing? Prove to me you love me. No. That's not what he's saying. The tense is, hey, if you love me, you're gonna do what I say. If you love me, you're gonna want to. Love produces willing obedience. Love produces willing obedience. So my question to you today, amongst a few, is what side of the comma are you living in? What side of the comma? Are you living on the side of love in him and just, it's just something you're doing because you love him so much? Or are you on the side of the comma as, oh, I gotta obey? It makes a difference. So the application is, how do we come to know Jesus Christ? Well, you gotta spend time with somebody that you want to get to know. You need to spend time with him. You need to commit to time with him. I have time every morning. David has time every morning. We don't even talk to each other. We don't even look at each other. He's not important because Jesus Christ is the most important in my life. And I need to spend time with him. I carve that out. I have a spot. Don't get in my spot in the morning. Amen? So what am I saying? You have to establish a time and a place. And you have to commit to do it. Now, when I first started this, I mean to tell you, I set a time, I had a place, the alarm clock went off in my flesh, oh Lord, it did not want to get up. It did not want, but I made it. How many of you know? I have self-control. You need to tell your flesh what to do. And I said, flesh, we're going to go get in that chair. But you know what I ended up doing? I fell asleep the first time. And maybe the second time, but I just kept at it. I was, what? Exercising my muscle. I was going to keep doing it until I got it. And now, for the last umpteen years, I won't even tell you a long time because I don't want to give away my age. I've been able to do. And what is it? It's time of prayer. It's time of scripture reading. It's time of worshiping him. It's time of every morning. I can honestly say every morning, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my life. You purchased me with a price. I am yours. Do with me what you will. That is a powerful, intimate prayer. I give you my heart. We don't give our heart away easy, do we? But we got to give it to Jesus. We got to get in the Word. You can't know Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. Some of you are, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. You can't know the Holy Spirit apart from the Word of God. A pastor was invited to some of his people's house for dinner. And, it was a wonderful dinner. They had a good time and he left. And after he left, they did the dishes and the woman noticed that one of her spoons was missing. And she told her husband, I think the pastor stole the spoon. And the husband's like, yeah, no, honey, the pastor didn't steal a spoon. He's not going to steal our spoon. Why would he steal our spoon? Our spoon is missing. I've had spoons come up missing. Have you? Those things are elusive little suckers. So a year later, I don't know why it took her a year to have him back. Maybe because she was offended. How many of you know you shouldn't get offended? You need to forgive. Forgiveness is out of love, right? She has him back a year later. And it's still bugging her. The spoon thing is still bugging her. And so she says, Pastor, I there's been something I've been meaning to ask you for a whole year since you were here last year. And he's like, oh, honey, what is it? She says, did you take one of my spoons? And he kind of chuckled. He was, oh, honey, no, I wouldn't take one of your spoons. He said, I put it in your Bible. Are you getting it? Love is an action. How many of you know love is an action word? It's not just something we say. Love is an action. We need to make a point. We need to make, we just need to go spend time with Jesus, get into the Word of God. So we're going to, the fruits of the Spirit are in Galatians. So we are going to focus now for a little bit on Galatians because this is the full package. It's not just focusing on the fruit of the Spirit, but what's before and what's after, because that's proper context of any scripture. Amen. So we're going to read Galatians 5:16 and so on. And so I say, this is Paul talking to you and me. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary or against the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary or against the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, let me ask you, do you belong to Christ? Okay, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So what I want to do is break this down a little bit for you. So first point is keep in step and walk with the Spirit. Now as you read this, you think, so it says, I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It is conditional. So what's Paul say? You gotta walk with the Spirit instead of your flesh. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So walk in the Greek is peripateo, a continuous regular action, a habitual, everybody say habitual, way of life. Walking is not an event, people. It's a journey. It's like I could lift that big weight one time, but it's an event. I need to be on the journey. Amen? Moment by moment obedience. Day after day after day. What am I saying? You got to do it on purpose. You've got to do this thing. It's not going to fall on you like an apple falls off a tree and hit you in the head. Doesn't work that way. You choose to yield and you choose to walk in the Spirit. Amen? Oh, come on, get a little excited. So it also says in step. So we're to walk with the Spirit and we're supposed to keep in step with the Spirit. So in step literally means in line with. Anessa, can you come up here, please? Or not. So Anessa and I, I'll get on this side of you. Anessa and I are going to walk. We're walking together. This is what it means to walk, right? Do you follow me? We're walking. I'm walking with the Spirit. This is me walking with the Spirit. You're the Holy Spirit. Okay, now to keep in step with the Spirit is something totally different. I have to keep in, so now in order to keep in step with the Spirit, move this leg with me, we, it's like this. I'm walking and I'm keeping in step with the Spirit. Two different things. Does that make sense? So some of you are walking and you're like, wow, this is so cool. Woo! Look at that. But how many of you know we're supposed to let the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to walk with and keep in step. Meaning what? I have to be focused on the Holy Spirit. Focused on the Holy Spirit. Quit focusing on yourself so much and focus on the Spirit that dwells in you. Amen? You are a good Holy Spirit. Number two, we need to understand there is an inner conflict going on within us. The flesh versus the Spirit. Boom! Right? For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict. You have an inner conflict, and you will have that conflict for the rest of your life. It's not gonna go away. But you have the power, well, not a bummer, because we have the power over it. How many of you know the flesh was defeated? The flesh, listen, if you're born again, I'm getting ahead of myself, so I won't say that. But there is a conflict. So I'm just trying to clear up. He's like, why do I do what I don't want to do? And why do I do blah, 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 you know that? But then Paul says, it's not I who does it, but sin that dwells in me. Meaning it is that old nature. It's dead. It should be dead. But we have a tendency to resurrect the sucker. We have a tendency to cart that old ugly flesh. I told David I wish I would have laid out a steak and let it just get gross. I know. But that's the flesh, folks. It stinks. It's nasty. And you're carting it around and letting it control your life. It should not be. Amen? Bury it. Bury it. Bury it again in Christ. There, see, I got ahead of myself. Thank you. So part of walking, okay, and we're talking about walking in the Spirit. Part of walking is dying. I know, we hate to die. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, past tense, with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. I have to throw that in again because it's so good. We have to keep in step with the Spirit. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Like, do we wonder? Well, I wonder if you wonder, because it's obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies. Blech! That's your flesh. Now you have a choice. Now it says, you have crucified the flesh. That means when you got born again, we just had a baptism last week. It was so symbolic of us dying to self, dying to the flesh, and being resurrected with Christ. That's what that means. It's like you are no longer a slave to sin. You are no longer a slave to the flesh. You are not. It is a choice that you're making because you're not building your spirit muscles. It's easy to flesh out. It really is. But we are to have what? Self-control. Self-control. We're talking about the spirit of self-control, or the fruit, excuse me, of self-control. So exercise the muscle of self-control and don't let the flesh rule. You're going to serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord. It might be your flesh or it might be the spirit, but you're going to serve somebody. And we have been set free from the bondage. We don't have to. See, before Christ, we had to. We didn't have a choice. But we don't have to now. Hallelujah. All right, so some areas where self-control is needed, where we really need to apply self-control. You want to know what it is? Maybe I should just go home. Our carnal desires for pleasure, food, sex, spending, comfort, and there's probably more. Those are just the ones that I got for you today. And we can all probably find ourselves in one of these, if not all of them. This is where we need to apply our self-control, the spirit of self-control that God has given you, that you have. He has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. Love, everything good comes out of love, and self-control, self-discipline. You have it. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid, everybody say avoid. Sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. God says, be holy as I am holy. What is sanctified? We are justified in Christ, but sanctification is that process. Sanctification is that daily choice to live for Christ, to operate in the Spirit, to build my spirit muscles. And every time I choose to not surrender to the flesh, I have had a victory in the Spirit, and I become more stronger. My spirit becomes stronger. Does that make sense? I know what I'm talking about because I was one of the weakest people when I first came in here, folks. I know what it's like. Don't kid yourself. Amen? So what am I saying? We have to yield to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We have to choose to surrender our impulses. Those impulses and desires that want to have their way, but I have to choose to surrender those to the lordship of Jesus Christ. I have to choose to honor God in everything I do. Using his power to walk away from the things that are displeasing to him. He's given you the power to do it, but you have to make the choice to walk away. Amen. Our standard for what is right and wrong has to line up with what God says, not with what the world says or with what we want it to say. Amen? So how do we apply this? Well, number one, you got to identify your weak areas. We all have them. Some are the same, some are different. Identify your weak points and find somebody to confess it to that you can trust. Confess your sins one to another that what? You may be healed. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have people in my life where I could confess my sins, my struggles, my strongholds, and they led me in prayer of healing and deliverance. Listen, we are a body. Quit John Wayne-ing it or Lone Ranger-ing it or whatever. God's church, the idea of church is God's idea. How many of you know that? The body of Christ is supposed to be a body. You can't do it on your own. So let me tell you, get over yourself. Because you ain't gonna do it. You're just not. You can't. He didn't create it that way. And so then you have to, for some of us, well, all of us, we need to establish spirit-led boundaries. Spirit-led boundaries. Like Pastor David preached a few weeks ago or a month or whatever, I don't know. Remember, he had tape? And it's like so many of us, or you, I've learned not to get close to the line. So many of you are like, how close can I get? Your spirit-led boundary needs to be back here. And I don't go that close because I will stumble into it. It just will happen. Amen. So establish spirit-led boundaries. And what you feed lives, and what you deny eventually dies. realize this is something that you have to work. But what you feed, if you feed the Spirit, you're working the Spirit, you're being obedient, you're in your word, you're part of the church, you know, all that. It's working for you. It's, and you're feeding it. But if you're apart, what are you doing? You're feeding your flesh. David's told this story, but I'm going to tell anyway because it's so applicable. There was, I don't agree with this, but there was a man who was fighting dogs. And he had a black dog and a white dog. And you know, people bet on these. And so the black dog, he'd put it in and there would be a fight and the black dog, and oh, he fought the dogs. He fought the black and white dog and he always would win the bet. And one day a guy asked him, how is it that you know what dog is going to win every time? And the guy said, well, that's easy. It's just the one I feed all week. Come on. Are you feeding your flesh? All right. We need to listen and obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. One of the problems is we don't listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we ignore him. If you ignore him in the little things, you will ignore him in the big things when you really need to listen. So you need to be, you know, incline your ears to listen to the Holy Spirit. We have got to hear and obey because there's no other way. Amen? You all can hear the Holy Spirit. You're like, no, I don't, because you're not listening. And when you do hear him, you're ignoring him, which is sin. And then the enemy gets in there and brings a blockage. So if you know you've been ignoring the Holy Spirit's promptings, you need to repent. You need to be sorry for ignoring God himself. When we are tempted, God always provides a way out. Every single temptation in your life that you will ever have or have ever had, God provided a way out. But because you were not listening to the Holy Spirit or you heard it and you didn't obey, I'm going to do my own thing because I'm a big girl and I can do whatever I want. Well, enjoy that ride. Sorry, that was a little, you know. So small victories, what I'm saying, small victories build strength. Small victories build strength. You have ears to hear, but are you hearing? Start listening. So another area is our thoughts, and this is huge. This is huge. Our thoughts. All of our actions come from thoughts, folks. Every single one. Repeat after me. All my actions come from my thoughts. The battlefield truly is in the mind. Don't put it out here so much. I mean, it is, but it's right here between your two ears. Okay? If a person indulges in ungodly thoughts, he will almost involuntarily. You ever wonder why you do what you do? Because of your thoughts. Involuntarily deteriorate into ungodliness. You've got to be aware of your thoughts. Our character takes on the nature of our thinking. What are you thinking about? I don't know, Bobby. Well, Lord help you. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Right? For those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. His will and purpose. God's will and purpose. What is this telling me? What is this should be telling you? You can do anything you set your mind to in God. You can do anything you set your mind to. Question is, what are you setting your mind to? Are you setting it to the things of the flesh? Have you made a bunch of excuses for yourself to continue in the flesh? Because you've set your mind to the fact that, well, I'm just him who I am. This is a weakness I'm going to have. Get over that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Where is your focus? Because where your focus is, the question is, I'm set my mind to it. And some of you are like, have you even set your mind to anything? Because if you haven't set your mind to anything, then that's a problem too, because we will default to sin. You will default to the flesh. So you got to set your mind on godly things, on Jesus. Set your mind going back to that relationship. Get into the relationship with Jesus Christ. Start being aware of your thoughts. How can I do this application? Think about what you're thinking. Start thinking about what you're thinking. Don't just go through life and just let everything come in. The other day I was out at the club, you know, working out. Thank you. Thank you. And I was stretching. I'm not good at stretching. I'm trying to get, you know, better at stretching. And as I was stretching, you know, they play music out there. Speaking of, it's hard for me to understand how they call some things music. Because this particular song sounded like a demon just screaming his head off. But in this song, as I was subjected to it because I was at the club, it had a big, fat, ugly swear word, and it just kept repeating and repeating. Now, the thing about it is this was a song that I used to listen to in high school. Okay, I don't even remember. Thank God I don't remember the song now. But when I was leaving the club, that song, I could have sang that song, baby. I'm not kidding, but I didn't. Because I have learned to control my mind and my flesh. And when I got in the car, I was annoyed because it was just going and going and going and going. And so what I did, I said, in Jesus' name, I take authority over you. I command you to leave my mind right now. And I turned on K-Love. And I started getting the good stuff in. Because you can't tell something to go without filling it with something of the Spirit. So think about what you're thinking about. Does it line up with God or does it line up with your flesh and the world? There's only one place it should line up and needs to line up. Our thoughts must line up with God. Amen. Take action to those thoughts. Take them captive. It says here, we demolish arguments. That means you. Say we. Say I. Demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You do it. You make it obedient, just like I had to do in the car. And then we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's how it works. You can't make it happen. I'm going to be a good girl today. That's not how it works. You can't change your direction until you change your mind. For example, a lot of you are saying, and I used to say this too, I can't read my Bible. I can't get up to go to church and be there on time. I can't. When it comes to God's principles, is a lie from the pit of hell. It is 100% not true. You are believing a lie and you need to stop thinking that you can't. I can't stay away from the ladies. I just have a sex drive. I have to have sex. Well, you are 100% believing. It is a big, fat, ugly lie. But I have to have a man. It is a big, fat, ugly lie. God's word says, what does God say? It's a big, fat, ugly lie, so we're going to get rid of the lie. So what does it say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. Again, where's your mindset? Is your mindset on sex and the flesh, or is your mindset on the holiness and honoring God? Where's your mindset? Our emotions follow our thinking. Thinking is so huge, church. Thinking is, if you can get your thinking under control, it's going to change a lot in your life. Change your thinking and it changes your feelings and emotions. You can't be led by your feelings. You got to get over that. We come from the world. The world is led by their feelings. This is a process of being renewed in our mind and taking the word of God and applying it to our life. But we cannot be led by our feelings because your feelings are fickle. They're just fickle. I was going to say they're a four-letter word, but that would be spelt wrong. We are not to be carnally led. We are to be spiritually led. you are different. You're not who you were before Christ. You are royalty. Some of you have fond memories of the past. Some of you, oh yeah, remember when before Christ, and I used to do this and I used to do that. Oh man, it was amazing. I do a lot of counseling. There are people that, a lot of people think that way. Oh, if I could only do what I used to. Listen, if you have fond memories of your sin of the past, you are going to be drawn back to that sin. And your mind, whether you know it or not, is set on the flesh and not on the spirit. So you need to start seeing sin, that list, you need to start seeing sin the way God sees it. Amen? That's good preaching. Amen. So then, because we're working on our thoughts, it's going to affect my feelings, and then it's going to affect my tongue. It's all tied together. Start confessing what God says you have. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words, whether good or bad. Your I can't is giving you an I can't. You need to start saying I can. But it's so hard. Stop. Put a guard on your mouth and just start saying what God says. I can do all things. You're being tempted by that pretty lady. I can do all things. And I'm just going to run. Thank you. So, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Again, that goes to our mind. What you're meditating on goes into your heart, and your heart speaks. Okay, so start with your mind. Start renewing your mind. Start focusing on the good things and denying the negative things. Amen? Do me a favor. Say, I have self-control. Now here's the thing, I don't know, I missed it here somewhere, and maybe I'm premature, but I'm going to say it anyway. To change your mind, you know what repent means? It's a change of mind. Repent is a change of mind that leads to a change of action, and that leads to a change of emotion and feelings. So what's it saying? Repentance is where you realize you're wrong, God's right, I need to change my mind about what I'm doing. That's your responsibility. I got to change my mind. And as I change my mind, automatically, super duper wonderful byproduct is, it's going to change the way I think and or feel, and it's going to change my actions. Amen. Repent, repent, repent. Repentance is a power word if you do it right. Don't cry. Don't, just because you cry and shed some really nice tears, don't think you're repenting. Wow, that was good. So our emotions follow our thinking. Our tongue follows basically our emotions, because our emotions follow our thinking. You get the trail. So here's what I want you to know. God has given you the ability by his power and grace. God has given you the ability to walk in the spirit or the fruit of self-control. Here, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Through our knowledge, there we go again, that knowing of Christ, of him who called us to by his glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us the very great and precious promises, so that, right, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Wow! Meditate on that. Take that home. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live a self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. Some of you have a wrong impression of what grace is. Grace is a gift, 100%, but grace is a multifaceted diamond, if you will. There's many parts to grace, and some of you keep on sinning. Well, the grace of God covers it. I'm covered by the grace. You know what? You keep doing that and you're going to give yourself over to a debased mind. You're going to fall into, what were we talking about? Deception. And it won't be, life won't go well with you. You might be going to heaven, but life won't go well with you. So this scripture says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It! What's the it here? Grace! The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. So instead of relying on grace to catch you when you screw up or choose to sin, why don't you start applying grace in that I have the power of grace to do what God has called me to do? That's good preaching right there. God's grace is a gift of empowerment, but you have to commit. This is a very non-committal society. You need to commit to a lifestyle of a disciple. If you don't commit, you will not attain. Pretty simple. Exercise that muscle of self-control. Don't let the flesh rule. You have the power within you, folks. You have it. So why does it matter? This is in closing. Why it matters? Without self-control, we are an open target for the attacks and temptations of the enemy. Plain and simple. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. He loves it when you don't have self, because he just has his way. We are a testimony. How we live, good or bad, church, points to Christ. We are supposed to be ambassadors, representatives of who he is. And so if we're not, then he gets a bad rap. We are a testimony. This is why it matters. I love God, and God loves me. I want to be a good representative because of what he did for me. He owes me nothing. He owes you nothing. He owes you nothing. He already did everything. We owe him everything. And number three, you have a call of God on your life. You all have a call. You all have a call of God. But until you start walking in self-control, saying no to the flesh and yes to God, you will not fulfill that call. And that should bother you. You aren't here just to eat groceries and take up space and have all the worldly pleasures of life. If that's what it is for you, I'm sorry. You need to renew your mind. You're like a monkey on the vine. You know, monkeys, they swing one vine to the other. But you've got a hold of the vine, but you won't let go of this vine. You gotta let go of the vine so you can totally swing into what God has for you. His divine power has, I've already read that. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. I'm gonna jump down. This is 2 Peter, by the way. For this very reason, this is Peter, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, and godliness mutual affection. And it goes on, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, everybody say increasing measure. That means we're lifting the weight. We're building the muscle. We're getting stronger. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, here he goes again. Make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if conditional, you do these things, you will never stumble. Wow. 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 Now God's grace, he gets it. We're going to make mistakes. His grace covers the mistakes. So don't get into guilt, shame, and condemnation. But we do need to allow the conviction to work its good work in us. Because you all have a call. You all have a purpose. But if you're dictated by the flesh, which we are dead to, unless, ... I believe in you. God believes in you. And this is why I brought this message on the fruit of self-control, because it is so powerful and important that we start applying what God has given us. And yeah, we got to build the muscle. I get it. I can do up to that. I am still working in some areas in my life over here. We all are. Listen, we're all in process. And some of you need inner healing and deliverance. Some of you, listen, it's not about just coming to church. It's about getting in a home group. It's about going to Abundant Life. It's about getting plugged into the men's group. It's about discipleship. It's about one another. God has already equipped you and enabled you with everything you need for spiritual growth, strength, and a victorious life through the fruit of the Spirit. But we must fall in love with Jesus. We must love Him more than life itself. And you can. I do. I do. And I've been willing. Listen, the flesh goes kicking and screaming sometimes. Do you think Jesus really enjoyed enduring the cross? He had you on His mind, and you were the joy set before Him that He was able to endure that painful, agonizing, humiliating death. If we make Jesus Christ our focus and He is the joy set before us, there's nothing that we can't go through to deny our flesh to be the individual that Christ died for us to be. Amen. Amen. I understand it's hard. I know. And some of you have quit just before your breakthrough. So don't quit. Just keep on keeping on, because God is faithful. Amen. Did you get anything out of this? If you want to come up and get some ministry, I'm going to invite you up, but I'm going to pray over you. And listen, you can't hear a message like this and catch it all. And again, the series is a powerful series, so please go listen to this again. When I came to Christ, I listened to teachings over, we were talking about last night, over and over and over and over, because it's about the renewing of the mind. And you can't just do it by listening to it once or twice or three times. I mean to tell you, I gorged on, I got rid of my TV. All I did when I was home, if I wasn't working and I wasn't with somebody in the body, I was at home and I had a continuous play on teachings of, you know, back then it was renewing your mind and who you are in Christ. And I would listen and I would go to bed. Back then we had tape cassettes. That tells you how old I am. And the tape cassettes, they had a continuous play. And so I would go to sleep listening to good word preaching and I would wake up. Listen, get serious. God told me when I came into this church to change your ways and come unto me. I took that serious. And I really felt like God was telling me to share with you today. God is calling you to change your ways and come unto Him. Because being a Christian and just going and living life like you always have, that's not what He died for. He died for you to be a representative and for the kingdom of God to come on earth. He called you for something greater and more powerful than you could ever imagine. But But we've got to change our ways and come unto Him. What is that? Just do what He says. Love Him. Get rid of those old habits that we've excused away. Change your ways and come unto Him. It wasn't always easy, but by God's grace, again, that empowering grace, I was able to do what He wanted me and was calling me to do in any given day when it came to die into the flesh. So, Father, I thank You for this word. I thank You for Your living word. I thank You that You are with us all the time. You are talking to us through Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that each and every person would start inclining their ears to Your voice and that they would obey the voice of the Lord, that they would practice with the little things and work up to the big. Lord, we thank You for Your grace that covers us when we trip. But Lord, I thank You even more for the grace that empowers me, that empowers us to fulfill the walk and to keep in step with You. Holy Spirit, minister to their hearts. Show them those areas that need to die, that need to be denied, that need to be not fed. Holy Spirit, help them fall in love with Jesus, the lover of our soul. And I just thank You, Lord. You continue to work with us no matter what. And I just bless each and every person in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you want some one-on-one ministry around this message or anything else, we have a ministry team. I invite you to come up. Some of you might need to confess something. This is a great opportunity to confess. Amen. All right. Lord bless you.